Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, my name's Ed Howard, and my favorite baseball player is Troy Tulowitzki.
Josiah Crumwick grounds back into the mound, and Illinois turns a 1-6-3 double play. Illinois holds on to win 7-5 to advance to the Little League World Series.
Howard has blossomed into the best prospect at his position in the 2020 high school class. He's set to become the first Illinois high school position player to go in the first round since Jason Worth in 1997. The Oklahoma recruit has a high baseball IQ and knack for slowing the game down on both sides of the ball.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Welcome back in on 670 The Score. It is Hit and Run, The Score's baseball show, Sunday mornings, 9 to noon, with me, Matt Spiegel. And very pleased to join our next guest, joining us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. He is Ed Howard, Sr., Mount Carmel High School, shortstop, and future MLB draftee. Ed, thanks for the time on a Sunday morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. My pleasure. We heard a highlight there of Jackie Robinson West from 2014. That was so much fun to watch and live. I was captivated. A lot of the baseball country was. And obviously it got more complicated later when Little League took the title away and all of that. But the memories themselves of playing, of winning, of the crowds, of your teammates, are they still right there for you, super clear and in a good, enjoyable place for you? I hope they are, Ed.
Yeah, those memories never go away. You know, I still remember that U.S. championship game like it was yesterday. You know, no matter what they do about, you know, taking the title out of the history books, it's always going to be there for me, you know, and the whole team, actually. So, like I said, it's always going to be. We always going to remember it.
What made you guys so good together? Why do you think you guys functioned so well together as a team?
I think we all were just good players. We love the game. But when we got along together, you know, we had fun. It was just kind of like going out there playing. I don't think anybody was, like, selfish, like, playing for themselves. It was more so all of us playing together, playing as one team. And we just enjoyed each other. We got along just as well on the field as off the field. So I think that really helped us, you know, when we got to that big stage, you know, playing in front of a lot of people and things like that. We just gelled so well together.
You know, I felt that watching the games. Yeah, you guys were all good, but everybody was just out there doing whatever they had to do, and you guys were having so much fun. And you know what? Yeah. Big league ball clubs still function best when they play like that, Ed. It's the same thing. It's a game, you know? So it's like it still works like that. When did you first dream of playing in the big leagues, Ed Howard? When did you first think to yourself, man, that's something I want to do?
It was always my dream. Since I was like 7 years old and I started playing, that's what I always said I wanted to grow up and play in the big leagues. You know, I never had like another like dream job that I used to say. So it was always a goal to play baseball my whole life. So that's still a goal.
Yeah, I was reading about you in that great piece that James Fegan wrote on The Athletic a couple of weeks ago about how you were 7 years old and Lou Collier, the former big leaguer, was a youth coach. I think it still is. He grabbed you at 7 years old. I think your father took you out there to work with him, right? And tell our listeners, because you're a shortstop and people talk about your footwork and just all the mechanics of how you play shortstop, that it's so special right now as a senior in high school. But how did he train you before even footwork? He had you on your knees on the field, right? Yeah. Tell people about that. Tell people how that worked.
Right. So I started with Coach Lou when I was around like 7 years old. And my first position actually was center field. So when I got with Lou, he moved me to shortstop, and we just kind of started training with that. And like you said, we started on our knees first, and he was just flipping me ground balls, and I was just working on my hands, you know, working on forehands, backhands, and things like that. And then as I got better at that, we moved to doing like lateral work and footwork drills, and then I just put it all together. Kind of that's just how we started with it, you know, hands first, and then working on the feet, and then once you specialize in both of them and put them together, it can be special.
It makes so much sense. I had never really thought about it, but, you know, because the first thing you got to do, and I've got an 8-year-old, and it's a battle when I throw him ground balls, and I'm trying to tell him everything at the same time, you know, like get your glove down, get your legs in the right place, like everything. No, to simplify it like that. So that makes sense. And you still, what's your schedule like these days? Ed, I mean, and before we even talk about these days, let's talk about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, before the world changed the way that it has.
Right.
The last 4 or 5 years, you've been incredibly busy. Tell people what a typical day has been like for you with high school, with baseball, and just in general, as you've trained and tried to be as good as you can be.
Right. So during the school year, especially during like baseball season, we usually, starting off the year, we have our morning workouts up in Mount Carmel. Those start at 6 in the morning. So I'm about like 30 minutes away from Carmel. So I wake up around like 4:45 to get ready for that. Then I go do my morning workouts. I go to class. And then I usually come home, do some homework, take a little nap. And then I go back up to my trainer at 7:30, and I do my own like personal lift. Depending on like the day, I'll lift some days, and then some days it'll just be like hitting in the cages or taking ground balls. And that's pretty much like an everyday thing. That's just kind of how I do it. And then of course, like the summertime, a lot of time I'm out like on a roll playing tournaments and showcases and things like that. So, my life is pretty much baseball field. You know, I get like a few months off throughout the year, but for the most part, it's just always on the go.
And I was reading, you've enjoyed that though, right? Like, why do you enjoy that level of work and that level of concentration and obsession? What's satisfying about it?
I mean, it's just fun to me. It's nothing else I'd rather do. You know, right now during this quarantine, I'm at home just bored. You know, I'm missing it. I wish I could be out there, you know, on the road playing in tournaments right now. But I don't know. It's just enjoyable. And I know when I'm doing all those workouts and getting up early, I'm only making myself better, you know, and that's just going to help me get to my overall goal.
Yeah, and have you seen yourself getting better? Like, even just these past 3 or 4 years, as you've worked on it, you feel yourself getting better?
I have. I always feel myself getting better. Each and every month, honestly, I can feel myself getting bigger, stronger, changing a lot mentally, too. So I'm always getting better.
Yeah. Do you remember a moment at a field or in a park as you were growing up, Ed, when you thought, you know what, I think I might have a real shot to get to the big leagues? Like, have you allowed yourself to think about that, or do you still work in a way that you're dreaming of it?
No, I definitely think about it. I stay motivated though and keep working, but I definitely dream about it all the time and see myself doing it. I can't really point out a specific moment. I would say like maybe like 2 summers ago, like playing summer ball, just I kind of seen some of the things like I've done. And sometimes, honestly, I shock myself and do certain things that I'd be like, wow, I made that play. Or I'll look at it on video and be like, all right, that does look smooth. Like, so I would say I don't have a specific moment. I just kind of always felt like I could play in the big leagues.
All right. So what's a play where you're like, damn, I just did that? What were you doing? Were you going deep into the hole? Are you going up the middle? You charging a ball? What were you doing?
I feel like it's always the run-throughs. Those are tough plays, but I feel like when I watch them on video, it always looks kind of easy. But those are tough plays, though.
A run-through? What do you mean? What do you mean a run-through?
Yeah, like a ground ball, a slow ground ball, me charging the ball at shortstop, and throwing on a run. First thing.
Got you.
Yeah.
And like, and there is the, and you should like, wow, okay, I got that in the bag now. It's good to know. Ed Howard, the Mount Carmel shortstop, is with us. I want to play this moment for people. It might be a little tricky to hear the audio of, but we went back to find Barry Larkin, who was involved in the broadcast of the Jackie Robinson West games, and he gave you a nickname. This is a little bit of Barry Larkin from 2014.
Ed Howard has been really good this year. I call him Silk simply because his footwork, his handwork. You mentioned top span. The ball gets to him quickly, but there's no panic in the young man.
Silk. Now, first of all, Barry Larkin was about as smooth and graceful and beautiful a shortstop as I remember watching. I love watching elite, great baseball defenders in the infield, and Barry Larkin was amazing. So I have him call you Silk is pretty strong. Have you embraced that? You feel okay being Silk? Are you still Silk to anybody?
Yeah, I'm glad that he called me that. You know, that meant a lot to me personally, especially me being so young. And it coming from Barry Larkin, you know, Hall of Fame shortstop. So yeah. it's still some people call me Silk, not as much as like back then, but it's a nickname that I always keep in the back of my mind. Because when I'm always a shortstop, I just always want to remember, you know, it's about confidence. So I always want to remember that, like, you know, I'm Silk, you know, I can make plays, you know, just to stay confident. So I just always keep that nickname in the back of my mind.
That's beautiful. What did it mean to you at the time? Like in terms of giving you confidence or just making you think, all right, I know what I'm doing here, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Like I said, it really didn't hit me until like maybe a year or two after, as I kind of got older and realized, you know, who Barry Larkin was. Because at that time I was young. I didn't really know much. I just, so he was an announcer. My parents had told me, you know, he was a Hall of Fame shortstop. But as I got older, I really started to look into him and watch him a lot. And so it just started to mean more to me as I got to know who he was.
We heard that intro as part of our little open we played for you, Ed, where your favorite player was Troy Tulowitzki. I know at some point it became Tim Anderson of the White Sox, right? I know what I think makes Tim Anderson cool. What do you think makes Tim Anderson cool?
I think it's just the way he goes about his business. You know, he's always himself. That's what I like the most about him. He's himself. He has fun. He has a lot of confidence. You know, I talked to him a few times, and he always just talked to me about, like, my mentality as I'm playing a game, you know. Just kind of, like, doing you, you know, staying confident all the time. And I don't know. I think that's what I just like the most about him, just the way he goes about his business, like, off the field.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I remember last year when the White Sox didn't get Manny Machado, and Tim Anderson was saying, "So what? All right, that's my position anyway. That's what I do. I got it, you know." And just that attitude carried through to the entire team, and they have a chip on their shoulders still that he is a big part of. You agree?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. That's right on.
Yeah. I know that when you did meet him, he gave you his phone number. He said he's going to keep tabs on you. What's that like? Does he keep tabs on you when you guys? What's that like?
Yeah, I mean, we just talked, I think, 2 days ago. And it's just more so just checking up on each other, you know. I asked him, you know, how he's doing. He asked me, you know, what's going on. And then he always gives me, like, a little advice. Just talk to me about, you know, the situation I got coming up, you know, the draft and my high school season. And he just kind of just gives me insight on his life and how he thinks about things in his mind, you know, because he's playing shortstop in the big leagues. I know that's a pretty stressful job for him. But he just tells me how he goes about it, you know, how he can stay confident, how he doesn't worry about, you know, what others got to say about him. It's just kind of going out there and playing and doing it for himself, you know.
Yeah, and And he's got a very full life, and he's very active in the community, working with Youth Guidance and the BAM Foundation, the Building a Man, and everything that he does. It seems like it's having an effect on a lot of people. I wonder, Ed, young men like you, young black men, athletes, don't always choose baseball, obviously. Have you ever talked about that with your friends? Do any of your peers talk to you about baseball, whether they like it or whether they don't, in conversation?
Yeah, it comes up a lot. Most of my friends, you know, are baseball players, because that's just kind of who I'm around. But I know a lot of kids who didn't choose to play baseball, who went on to play, you know, like basketball and football and things like that. And honestly, it's really not common for a lot of black kids to play baseball, because it's just how things are. But I think it's definitely changing. I know a lot of younger kids who are playing the game at like a young level and really love it. And I know they look up to guys like me. And I look up to guys like Tim Anderson. So it's kind of like a chain of people leading the way. So it's just I feel like it's my duty to keep setting an example for kids younger than me, you know, to keep playing this game. And I think it's definitely growing for African Americans.
Well, it's beautiful. Right now, as you're talking about, I'm remembering guys like Torrey Hunter having those conversations, like African-American players from a decade ago, from 20 years ago, whatever. And it's a thing about kind of paying it forward a little bit. What do you think keeps kids? What do you think keeps kids from choosing it, Ed? Is it slow to them? Do they think it's slow? I hear that.
I think it's because it's slow. You know, it's outdoors. You don't get as much like attention, you know, like the NBA star, NFL star, you know, you kind of play baseball. I really don't know, honestly. I just think kids don't like it because it doesn't get as much attention as like NBA and basketball. And, you know, games might not be as packed as basketball games or football games. But at the end of the day, it's still a great game. And I think if kids played it more often, they would like it.
What do you like about it? What do you like about baseball, Ed?
I like that it's a challenging sport, honestly. You know, it's a lot of failure in baseball. So when you do have success, it just feels so good. You know, you got to keep working. It's a long process, you know, trying to be good and things like that. But like I said, just the failure part of it just makes the success that much better.
Yeah, no, that makes all the sense in the world. The connection to the White Sox for you and for Mount Carmel, I know that that Alec Thomas, who played at Mount Carmel, was a second-round pick of the Diamondbacks in 2018. I know that you and Alec played together for a little while. And his dad, Alan Thomas, the White Sox director of conditioning, he consulted on your training regimen. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How much contact have you had, if any, with the White Sox as an organization along the way, other than specific people like that?
So I've talked to the White Sox a little bit. I trained with Tim Anderson once, and there was a few White Sox guys in there watching. So they've seen me all over the summer. They've known me for a long time since I was like a sophomore high school. They've kind of been watching me. So I feel like they've definitely seen me a lot.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can never have enough good athletic shortstops. People move positions, people bounce around quite a bit. Do you dream of them drafting you?
I do. I think it'll be a great story. You know, if the hometown team drafts me, you know, I don't know how the draft's going to play out. So I'm just kind of standing in the moment, and we'll see what happens in June.
All right. Well, what if it's the Cubs? How does that feel?
I'm a Cubs fan, too. You know, I like good baseball, and the Cubs were hot for a minute. I think they still can be. So I watched them a lot. Honestly, either one is fine with me.
That is an excellent, well-polished answer right there from Ed Howard. Good stuff. Ed, thank you, man. This has been a pleasure. Wishing you well. I know it's an awkward time. Hope you and your family are staying safe, are staying sane, and good luck in the draft. If it happens in June, it might happen in July, but wishing nothing but good things for you.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me out.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.